start off today. Okay, I'd like to start off today, maybe like a mañana de alma, which is to talk about the concept of bitachon, okay, in Torah. Okay, and I guess as it relates to this coronavirus. Okay, but more generally, like, what's the idea of bitachon in Torah? Okay? So, like, some people just say, look, we just trust that everything's going to be okay. Right? That's like a one type of mentality. Everything Hashem does is good, and it's for the best, and everything's great, and there's nothing to worry about. We just have trust. Right? But it doesn't quite seem to be the attitude of Torah that a person just sits back and doesn't do anything and just trusts that everything Hashem's going to make everything good. It seems like in life, a person has to make plans, make strategies. Like Yaakov made him prepared for war, right? With Esau, he didn't just say, look, I'll trust Hashem, everything's going to be okay. Hashem's just going to make everything fine, right? A person has to try to have a parnasa. You don't just sit back and just say, look, I trust Hashem's going to give us everything. Right? So, it doesn't seem to be like the idea of trust, of bitachon, just drop your mind and don't think and don't plan and don't take steps to, seek out your best interests doesn't seem to be a good idea. But at the same time, there does seem to be an idea of bitachon in Torah. Right? So, what is the idea? Right? What world, given that we don't really know Ma'aseh Hashem, and we don't really know, we can't say with any certainty X, Y, Z is going to happen or is not going to happen. So how does a person, like, I don't know, I always think about, you know, like, what's the role of Beitachon a person should have in anything regarding this, regarding the virus, regarding sick, regarding a person making a living, regarding, I don't know, life in general, health issues. Right? Like, where's the role and place of bitachon in a Torah Jew's life? Right? That's my question. Just to take it, like, regarding the virus, okay? So there's different attitudes, if you'll notice, talking to people. There are vastly different attitudes people have about it. Some people are super cautious and are, you know, won't go anywhere, won't do anything, totally, you know, always, you know, very, 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 very cautious, and telling everybody else to be very cautious. And other people are totally, whatever will happen, right? I don't know if, now maybe that's bitachon, or maybe that's just whatever. I mean, that's without bitachon, that's just not like an attitude of her, but it's something to bitachon, it's just whatever. It'll happen, or it won't happen, I don't know. You know, now, you might say, but that might not be based, that's even without bitachon, just people in the world, I think, have those types of attitudes, based on their people's personalities and whatever. Right? Now, does bitachon factor in any way into that attitude? Is it just a matter of, look, you have different opinions about the risks, about the whatever? Does it have anything to do with bitachon? Does it have any shaychus to this whole discussion? You know? But it's, again, it's a more broad question than about this. It's just what I'm thinking about it in this regard, but I think about it in other regards, you know. Like, in general, a person wants to pursue a career. A person wants to work, you know. You get a job, and you can get a better job, and you get a better job, and you get an extra degree, and you could really try to make as much money as possible. Because after all, you never know. You have to have money in case XYZ happens. Or you could just say, look, I'll get a job, I'll take care of my needs. Am I secure? Well, trust in Hashem. Right? Or a person could just not even work and just say, look, whatever, trust in Hashem. There's like different degrees of bitachon that a person has, and those degrees arguably have nafkaminas. If a person has total 100% bitachon Hashem, they just don't do anything. Maybe they're sadless, whatever that means. Right, but essentially, just sit around and do nothing, and you learn, and you just hope for the best, or whatever, to be a tough one. On the other hand, there's like the opposite extreme. A person can say, look, I don't know what I say, Hashem. I can't trust anything. What do I know? Who am I? Am I a tzaddik? Am I this? I don't know. And I'll just do everything to make sure I have, the most, as much money as possible, because, hey, you never know. Right? And then there's obviously a wide spectrum in the middle. That. So, that's a question. Given that we don't really know the Darkei Hashem, could this concept of the Bitachon Hashem have any nafkamin on our actions? You know, and what is the concept? Right, don't trust in man. Right, so what then? Bitachon Hashem. What does that mean? Yeah, you don't trust a man at all. You don't go to a doctor. You don't do anything. Right? Doesn't seem that wise either. So yes, the judge is making another step. Is that the things which are in our control, they're in our control. So control them. Right? Control them. But whatever degree of control we have. But then there is, even in things we do have control over, there are things which are not in our control. So you say we have control over making a living. To some extent. To some extent, right? And to whatever degree we do. We do go to school, we get a job, we work hard. But even the best plans that we have, there's many factors which are out of our control. We don't really have control over. You just got fired. The market could go down 7%. Whatever, right? Crazy things can happen in the world. Could a person get sick? A person's family members can get sick. Person's house could burn down. Whatever. There's a million things that can happen, which are out of our control. So, there is a point. There is a certain degree of control we have over this world, right? But then there is a certain degree which we don't really have, right? I don't know the percentages, but could throw out. 90% control, 10% out of control, 99%, 1%. I don't know, it depends who you ask and what, it's just how you quantify these things. But a certain degree, we do have ability, we have a modicum, a degree of control of our lives, over what happens to us. But then there are things which are out of our control. Now the question is, what do we do about that? Right? So, one approach is, try to control it anyways. Right? It's not in our control. But maybe, if I think about it all the time, and I plan, micromanage, and whatever, then I could control it. Maybe, look, I have a nice salary, I have enough to take care of all my needs, I have some extra money put away for retirement. But after all, I could, something crazy can happen, and I could lose it all. So if I make an extra million, or 2 million, or 3 million, or 4 million, or 5 million, then I'll increase my probability of making it through a financial crisis, which is probably true. You may increase it by a teeny bit, right? But you're never really going to ultimately secure your anything like that. There's a certain amount where certain things you have to accept. There is a part of this world which is not yours. It's like an Om Shana Shalach. It's not your world, and you lack control in many regards. Right, and when it comes to those points, I think people oftentimes delude themselves into thinking they have more control than they actually do by trusting in man, but another, let's say in a doctor, right? A person puts trust in doctors until they realize the doctors don't really know everything and they can't really help you, and there are a lot of things which they can't do. But we kind of have these illusions of the degree of control which we have over the world. And as such, those illusions, I think, oftentimes cause us to act irrationally in various ways. Because it's like first of all, we get neurotic about it, because we feel that we have more control than we do, and we obsess over these things. For instance, this virus thing, you could sit around all day long thinking about what you're going to do to try to avoid getting the virus. Could be reading the news and looking this up, looking that up, and all these, right? There's no end to the amount of energy a person can put into these things, because we don't know. Bottom line is, there's an uncertainty in it. So you could spend all your time doing that. And will it help you? I don't know. Maybe. That's why it's a little tricky. To some extent, maybe it'll help you make good decisions. But at some same point, it could... There comes a point where it's not where, you're spinning your wheels. Or I'm another job. You are increasing your degree of security if you make a million or 10 million or 20 million or 100 million or whatever, I mean, you got to be a little more secure. But ultimately, a person who's looking for that degree of security could spend all his Yom HaValayla until he's 90 years old working. Because, hey, you never know, right? So you could... So then that's reasonable. A person could do that. I mean, it's not reasonable, but it happens, right? So I think the point is, this is the way I think about it, is that there comes a point which is reasonable for a person. There's within steps a person could take to try to procure a good future for themselves, right? You get a job, you go to school, you have a degree, you get a job, you have a rational plan, you take steps regarding the virus, whatever it is, you know, you assess the risk factors and you try to stay out of harm's way and whatever you could do, whatever the case is. In each situation, that's, you know, you have to make decisions or whatever. But then but despite everything you do, there is uncertainty and there is risk and there's things which are not in your control. And that's painful. A person doesn't want to think about that. So we often do many things which delude ourselves into giving ourselves a false sense of control, which is very upsetting, depressing, scary when it comes crashing down, because it's not true. We don't really have that degree of control. So I think that there comes a point where bitachon v'Hashem is we have to simply submit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that we live in a world which is governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Schar V'Onash. We don't know exactly how it works out. We don't know that we're necessarily going to get XYZ goal, but we do know it is a world which is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is Hashgacha, there is Hashem is all-knowing, to whatever degree of involvement he does have in the world, but this is his world, this is the best world, this is the good world in which we exist, and certain things are outside of our control. And the best thing we could do, this is what I think is an interesting point, is the best way we could increase our odds of success after you have a good rational plan is tshuva, tefillah, ma'asim tovim. I mean, there's a concept of schar v'onash. I mean, the Torah tells us there is an idea of brachos and klalos, and there's an idea of schar v'onash. And the best you could hope to do is to stay rational, to keep your focus on what's important in life, stay focused on, you know, on actually things which matter. You know, don't just put all, again, like you could spend all your time in trying to get that $1 billion or whatever it is to be totally secure. But how much more secure are you than the guy who has $1 million? You know, ultimately, that catastrophe could happen to both of them. You know, so maybe you realize that once you get the million or whatever amount it is, so then why don't you learn some Torah and grow as a person and work on yourself and be misbala and work on focusing on things which are important. So again, not to ignore responsibilities and to just take it as, you know, not to just pretend like there's no laws of nature and there are no consequences. You have to be aware of the fact that there are consequences and you need to make a living and you want to learn. You're going to have to be able to put your time and energy into getting a career. But then at the same point, there is a part of us that wants security. And it's an illusion. It's not possible to get that. And there comes a point where I think you're better served by being Bateach Basham. Which again, doesn't mean you're assured, trusting in a particular outcome, but it's the best that you got, which is to, we do know the better, the more in line with Torah, mitzvos, ma'asim tovim, tshuva, perfection a person is, the more they'll be in line with Hashgacha. The more they'll have a protection and assistance to be able to continue to live that type of a life. And does it give you security that you're looking for? No. But nothing does. Nothing does in truth. This is the best. This is, at least, you know, there is a reality to this. And this is the path which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made the world, set us out on. And if there is, it's like that, it could factor out to help us. I guess there's neurotic fear and neurotic degree of control, which we try to exercise, which the idea of bitachon could help a person recognizing their part in God's world, could help a person try to stay grounded in rational planning and not neurotic planning and wondering and pondering and, you know. So like, more like, the, yeah, so it ties in a little bit to Rabbi Gabe and I, a beautiful shir. If you could read it, it's written up, and it's a shir about Yosef HaTzadik, where he says that, you know, he begged the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, to Paro, to tell Paro about him, right? After he successfully interpreted the dreams, he begged the Sar HaMashkim to successfully, to tell him about Paro about him. So Rashi says that he didn't have bitachon Hashem. And because he didn't have bitachon Hashem, but he had bitachon in this person, in this mitzri, this low life, whatever, so the mitzri forgot him and he was in jail for an extra 2 years or something like that, right? So Rabbi's question was, is that, what do you mean? Was that bitachon Hashem, just to sit back and think Hashem's going to protect you and, you know, get you out of jail? Shouldn't you make a plan? Here it is. He was in with his mitzri. Shouldn't he tell the mitzri and tell him to tell him about Paro, about him? Right? That seems to be a rational plan. So what is it endorsing? Just sitting back and being, hoping God will save you? He's giving you the ticket out. This Sar HaMashkim. So why not ask him to tell Paro? Right? So Rabbi wanted to say that the best plan at this point, the rational plan at this point, was to not say anything. He says, why? Because the Sar HaMashkim was just amazed by Yosef's abilities. The fact that he interpreted both dreams correctly. Right? That was unbelievable. Astonishing. Now, the Sar HaMashkim naturally would be so shocked and amazed, and he'd go out and he'd tell Paro, you wouldn't believe it. There's this unbelievable Chacham in jail. And what's he doing? He's sitting in jail, but he's an untapped talent. You wouldn't. This is the greatest guy in the world, and it would elevate his career, right? It would have been the great. He didn't need to say anything. It's natural that the Sar HaMashkim would do that. But when Yosef begs, and he says, "Listen, I was captured here. Gunav gunavti mibeis Ephraim. Gampo lo sisim uma. Ki sam Yosef bavo. I didn't do anything." It's like the thing. Like every guy in jail is innocent. Right? There's some story, movie or line like that, right? Everyone in jail is innocent. It's just like when you start begging and you bare your soul to the Sar HaMashkim, it changes the psychological dynamic from you being the superstar, unbelievable dream interpreter to you being a Nebuch guy who's been victimized and in jail. And it just like totally changes the way the Sar HaMashkim looks at him. It's like, you're such a great guy, but you're begging and you're lowly and you're subordinate. And that like changed the profile of Yosef in the eyes of the Sar HaMashkim. And as such, Sar HaMashkim forgot about him, right? He just became whatever, nothing. He didn't. It changed the whole psychological profile of Yosef in his eyes, right? So it was a mistake in Chachma. So the question is: so what does that do with Bitachon? So why did Chazal say he should have been Bitachon B'Tech Hashem and not in a man? So Rashi says something to that lashon, right? So he said, why did Yosef do that? It was a mistake. Right? It was a mistaken judgment. Yosef was a smart person. He knew psychology. He's a master of psychology. So what's he doing? But he said is that his person feels the need for security, for trusting in somebody and something. And that ultimately, the security that your person, Yosef, should have gotten was that he's following Chachma. And following Chachma and following Derech Hashem is ultimately the best chance of succeeding. But he emotionally was in a weak situation, and he saw the Sar HaMashkim as like someone who he could confide in and who he had success, and he begged him. And he was looking for the Nebuch, the Sar HaMashkim, to say, "Oy vey, I feel so bad for you." You know, there's like a certain type of he was able to now to get the security from the Sar HaMashkim feeling bad for him, and that emotion, the desire to put trust in the Sar HaMashkim to be the one who's going to save him, ended up causing him to beg the Sar HaMashkim to save him. But that was counterproductive. If he would have been able to be fully boteach b'Hashem and to realize that man is but weak, and not to have the emotional desire. Emotions are short-sighted. The emotional desire is to trust in him. Begged him. That's how you naturally feel. Ask him to help you. Human being, help me out. Tell this, tell that. Right, but that's just like the way you feel. It's not. It's true. You could trust in him by trusting in rationality to rely upon the fact that you know psychology. And you know that he'll tell Paro naturally, but that's like an intellectual idea. Emotionally, you just feel like your instinct is to beg and to ask and to So it's like that's I think Rabbi's pshat is that his dependence on man caused him to misjudge and to act irrationally. Right. So my point is that I think similarly to that when a person has bitachon b'Hashem and not trust in other people and not trust in his own machinations and his own abilities, his own ability to be successful in X, Y, Z, so that causes one to be able to acknowledge the fact that I have control to a certain degree, people have control to a certain degree, doctors have control to a certain degree, my boss has control to a certain degree, but ultimately there's a limit to the degree, and after which point, I have to focus on being rational, and on being mispalel, and on making good decisions, and doing tshuva. And beyond that, when a person has his trust system, so to speak, off, he trusts in himself or in other people too much, it causes us to make errors. You know, errors could be that we spend too much time on our job and trying to get extra, more money, extra on, I don't know, somehow trusting in doctors too much to the point that we, I don't know, however it's going to affect it, maybe we don't daven as much because we're busy spending a lot of time, you know, doing all the research, doctor this, that, the other thing. Sometimes we could obsess about how much energy and research and time and then we could put thinking, we could put into all these things. Maybe better off to spend our time into thinking about doing tshuva, about growing, about thinking about ourselves, about introspection, about tefillah, thinking how to formulate a tefillah, which is appropriate. You know, and again, if you could do something, this is what's tricky, into the degree that you could do something, you can't shun your responsibility and just say, I'm just going to close my eyes and just do what I feel like. You know, if a person has a risk factor, then there's a risk, and the person has to be concerned about that, and you have to look for the best doctor. You can't just say, look, I'll just go to any doctor, whatever. No, if you have the ability to access a good doctor, you have to do research on getting a good doctor. Doctors don't know anything anyways. No, that's not true. They do. They just don't ultimately, it's not don't go to b'nidivim, but don't trust and rely upon them. Whether they're a doctor, or they're yourself, or they're someone else, someone with money, or some whatever. It's ultimately, there's a certain degree of lack of control that I think psychologically we don't like to accept, and therefore we delude ourselves. And in the extreme way, you know, that's why people turn towards idolatry and towards all these types of good luck charms and all that. The lack of control over the world is very unsettling. And it causes people to make, you know, to fool themselves into thinking they have control through these types of superstitious practices. So that's one method is superstition. But another method is just through your own thinking, your own neurotic pondering and thinking and cheshbening. And there's no end towards the degree of, or the degree of working. A person could neurotically work because they have to be secure. You have to be able to put food on the table. You know, everyone will say that. No matter how much money a person has, I got to put food on the table. I got to make sure. I got to be secure. I got to, you know. So, I don't know. These are my thoughts. But, you know, there's more to be said about this area. But, you know, it's kind of... the tricky part is drawing the line. As to what degree, at what point does it become rational? At what point does it become neurotic? That's what I'm saying. There's like neurotic control, neurotic involvement and obsession. Being obsessed with trying to get more and more and more control over situations, which is beyond the degree of rationality. You know, and that's, I think, maybe you have to have an intuition about if you find yourself obsessing, you know, that type of a thing, being either overly fearful or overly cautious or planning or, you know, to the nth degree of, you know, it's like you could have this super duper plan and you realize there's so many things that, you know, which are out of your control. It's like the level of control you have. It's like you could delude yourself into the level of control you can have over life, you know? And like you try to make yourself 99.9% secure. Yeah, but that's your fool. It's foolish because you could have so many, you get by a car. And there's higher chances of that, you know, that whatever it is. You know, I don't know. So, but I don't know. Ultimately, how to measure, that's why it's tricky. Because you can't just, if you want, some people at one extreme just say, look, I trust in Hashem, I'll just sit back, I won't think about anything. Doctor, whatever, who cares? Hashem will cure me. That's easy, in a sense, because then you don't get caught in this whole thinking. But that's not proper either. So you do have to go to a doctor, and you do have to, now, maybe this actor isn't good. Do you just say, well, he's not good, he seems to stink, but whatever, well, I don't know, I have to think, if he stinks, then maybe I should find a different actor. Well, maybe there's a better, then I can say, well, there's a better, maybe there's a better, maybe there's a better. Go for another opinion, another opinion, another opinion, you know, there's no end to that. So, like, I know there comes a point, and ultimately I think you have to, there's an intuition about when, you know, I think with the job also, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of making a living. How much money do you really need? I don't know. You know, you could have a plan. How much money do you need to have in savings for a rainy day fund? I don't know. But there's got to be a limit, you know. And look, if things get tough, then maybe sometimes you'll figure it out then. You know, I mean, again, a person could spend so much time and energy in working. Have a little bit of time to learn Torah. Have a little time to have, schedule chavrusas into your schedule. Maybe you're not going to be able to work as much and make as much money. If you're going to, you know, well, it's maybe you won't make as much money, but maybe you'll be able to grow as a person. Now, does that mean to be starving? No. But I'm saying, you know, there's generally opportunities to make more money out there, you know, and a person has to kind of realize that if they're relatively secure, they have a decent plan, they have a relatively stable amount of money, and what's going to happen if XYZ happens? I don't know, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes you don't know. Maybe you'll figure it out then. But again, does that mean you should have nothing in savings? I don't think that's a good idea either. So I don't know, that's where it's tricky, mm-hmm. you know, that's where it's tricky. But I think when it becomes irrational and neurotic, then that's the time for bidachon. You know? Maybe you could feel yourself out and realize that when it's too much. You know, if you feel like you're, you know, sometimes you feel like very emotional about something. So that's a good gauge that you're not being rational anymore. You know? You can't stop thinking about it and you're thinking over it again and again and again. Or you're very fearful or very, you know? This types of attitude that kind of indicates that something's, you know, or someone else tells you, what are you working so much? Enough already. You know, sometimes other people see these things in you more than you do, you know, sometimes like that kind of a thing. Trust other people's intuition because sometimes you get caught in these things. But, you know, of course, every case is different and every situation is different, you know. Yeah. Right. General Chachma does work. And Chachma does take. You have to think. So when I say don't think about things, don't plan, yes. But plan, but there's a limit to how much, you know, how much planning and how much your planning works out. You know, there's general plans. Look, sometimes you got to make very specific plans. Some things. But to some degree, there's, you know, you have a whole plan, a whole conversation. I'm going to say this, and he's going to say this. Then the very first line, the person says the wrong thing, and then your whole plan is off. So you have the whole ad, this whole theory about what you're going to say, and 10 steps down the road, and you realize the whole thing is assuming that it all plays out. So, I don't know, like something like that. Like, there's so much planning you could do, and it doesn't, you know. You know, or like, I don't know, maybe these health things is another example. You know, you want to follow every recommendation to make sure that you don't get cancer. You know, you're not going to eat anything. You know, you're not going to ever walk near anything. You're not going to, I don't know. Cancer. Yeah, you want cancer, you're right? No, but even that, but then, yeah, then you get hit by a car. And then all these strategies and all this whatever. I don't know. Like, there's, so I'm not saying don't be healthy, but there's the degree of control of your health, which a person could, you could spend all day long on reading about health and eating healthy and exercising a million hours a day and all these different things where you're spending so much time on trying to be secure about your health and you, so you don't have any time left to learn or to think or to grow or to daven, right? But you're super healthy, and even then the guy gets a heart attack, all those guys, right? I mean, the gym fix or I don't know, whatever these, like, there's these things, don't, it just, you have this illusion that you could really make sure that you're going to live till XYZ, you know, or that you're going to be safe or you're going to be healthy or whatever, and it doesn't. So, like, there is a limit to how much control you can have over getting cancer. There's a reality. People get cancer. That's just unfortunate. That's for whatever. That's part of the world. People do. And there's certain things you could do to avoid it, but I don't think ultimately we don't know that much. Don't smoke, you know. But how much more do we really know? So, look, I'm not saying there's nothing, but the percent increase that you you know, you increase your chances of living till whatever based upon a lot of these things is very low. Now, again, you have to look into it a little bit to know that that's the case, and, you know, certain mm-hmm. thought, to a certain extent, but, you know, you could obsess about these things and try to get totally safe and totally healthy and everything perfect and whatever. You're getting perfection. You try aiming for perfection in an area where it's not possible. You don't have the capacity. So you do the perfect plan about being healthy, but the whole human endeavor of trying to be healthy only works 70%. So you try to get, you know, you can be 69% healthy or 69.1, you know, and the difference between the different chances of a person who plans all that or whatever, where the whole thing, it's like you're way off. There's so many things out of your control. So you're trying to get the nth degree of control where you realize there's nothing you could do to make sure a guy doesn't swerve into you on the highway, right? So all you have all the plans that you're going to try to eat this thing, lower your chances of getting a XYZ thing. And some crazy thing like that could just come and hit you on, you know. Maybe they're more likely to get hit in a car accident like that and all these other things combined, right? So how much energy are you going to put onto that thing as opposed to, look, this is God's world. You dive and you learn. You try to do the best that you could do. And we'll focus upon, spend that much time and energy on learning Torah. On Ma'asim Tovim. You know? But again, because we're fearful of the, you know, the things which are out of our control, those fears paralyze us and delude us. You know, they cause us to do things which try to fake ourselves into thinking that we have more control than we do. That's my main point. It's like we have to be, and it's painful. We don't like it. We don't like the fact. It's very scary that we don't have control. It's very scary that we could just get hit by a car. You know? And we hear these things all the time. And they are scary. But what do we do about that? So we could accept it. Could accept that that's just the way the world is. It's unfortunate. It's painful. But that's why Avodah Zarah exists. Why? Because of these insecurities, people make up. But that's the Torah teaches us, is don't make things up. But it doesn't mean don't make things up. Don't make up Avodah Zarah. Don't make up your own. You could have your Avodah Zarah. It could be your ability to control situations.
Right.
You know? And you also have that there's Rashba, I think he says, you stand with your feet together during Shemona Esrei, because you have to, like, a person, like, moves around. It's like a person feels like they, running around, you could control things. So when you're davening, you stay put. The best way to succeed at this point is to stand here and daven Tashem. You know? So it's just like, stand brings to your mind's eye. It's like, you're moving around, is limited in its ability to control your fate. And ultimately, now you're davening. And Tefillah is a way. Look, we don't have security that tefillah works. We don't have security like that, but we know Hashem Shemir tefillah. There is a reality to tefillah. So we're in tough situations. I think sometimes people don't think of it. But how about davening? You're worried about getting a virus. How about davening that you don't get a virus? Is that, you know, you could spend so much time about trying to formulate a tefillah, about thinking about, you know, trying to work on oneself, to do tshuva. Like an eitzara, what does it say? A person is eitzara, he's children come upon us and do tshuva. Right, that's the root which the Torah has. So again, of course, use your chachma to whatever to be possible. But then, you know, it doesn't mean using your chachma is going to give you security. Chachma doesn't do that. The best chachma in the world doesn't do that. Ultimately, you know, like Esther, she had a plan. It was the greatest plan, but it could have not worked. There's a million things that could have happened which wouldn't work. Right? Didn't have to work. Could be Achashverosh would have had a nice sound sleep that night. Could have just, you know, had wine and fell asleep, and then the whole Mordechai, whatever, how would the plan have worked out then? So, but it's a great plan, you know, 12-part plan, all this and all that, right? But bottom line is, all the greatest plan, there's things out of our control. And that's all we could do, is make good plans, and then try to make ourselves the best people which we could be, so that hopefully we'll be zochet to a higher degree of hashgacha. Hopefully we're on a good path. And that's all we could do.
It's also to adjust your plans as the facts change.
Yes, right, that's true.
That's one thing, yes. Being involved in Torah is that you learn how to use Chacham all the time in every situation.
Exactly, right. True, that was that point to Jeff and Jeff Shear, that thing about the aspect of Esther's plan was that she wanted to be with Haman to be able to be on her feet, to be able to adjust. watch him, right? Maybe he'll say something, maybe he'll do something that you'll be able to, you know, take advantage of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes our plans are so multifaceted, but there's so many things could happen in real time. So all these things, you know, like for instance, I'm sure these things happen. How many times do you think out a whole conversation you're going to have? Never doesn't quite, it never happens exactly the way you think it's going to happen, you know? But it's like obsessed about these things, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, there's a million things in life which, you know, it's just we don't really have control. But because that's fearful, that's scary to us, we try to, you know. But again, this is what it's about, the tricky balance, is that you do have to think. And if you want to turn off your mind, it's easy. The problem is to turn on your mind, but then to stop it when it becomes obsessive and neurotic. You know, and then what do you do? Fine, it's neurotic. What are we supposed to do? We think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, think about Tefillah, Daven, do tshuva. Think that this is God's world. This is God who made a world in which we do lack control. We do have uncertainties. We do have risks. This is the world which He set up. There, as we can think into what's good about that world. It's good for man to realize this inability to control the world. That helps us realize our place in the world. We could use it as an opportunity to truly appreciate our place in the world, and not to, you know, use it to say this is an opportunity to do tshuva. Things like this. Things like this virus, or like Sandy, or like, I don't know, these are things which help us realize that we think we're all, you know, modern and advanced, and medicine and electricity and all that. We have absolute control over the world. It's these natural disasters or whatever which help us realize that it's not really true. I mean, yeah, we have more control over, you know, than maybe other generations, but we're still far from being able to control, you know, natural disasters or pandemics or, you know, natural storms and, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes and, you know. But again, we don't realize these things until we get into these types of situations. But these situations are a time where we could try to internalize this point and, you know, turn towards God and, you know, break down our own fantasies of our own, you know, fact that we do have, you know, that we have more control over reality than we do. And I think that's part of a person has to do. That helps a person daven, helps a person do tshuva and ma'asim tovim, and to try to grow. We realize our dependency. We realize our neediness, right? And hopefully, we could take these lessons to when these times pass. That, you know, we don't fall right back into our feeling of we got it made, you know. But if we think about it now, at times like this, then hopefully, when it passes, we'll be able to groan from these situations. But the only way we grow into these situations is if we're thoughtful during them. It's like a good opportunity. And it's like Chazal say in Avelos, right? It says a person's friend or family dies, the whole group should be worried. Should think of it as if a sword is coming around, you know? And the point is that when your friend, your relative dies, you realize your mortality, right? That's a good opportunity for tshuva, right? You identify with them and you realize if that person died, I could die. What's the difference, really? Right? Presume I probably will die. Right? It's a good chance. Right? But, certainly. You know. But,
certainly.
Certainly. Certainly. Okay, fine. Fine, certainly. But that's, you know, so those are moments during Avelos, for example, to think about immortality. So these moments are moments that we can't think about it every day. But we could think about it when we're in Avelos. So I'm saying it's like, I think this time also, you know, during this pandemic, and who knows what's going to be in this, that, the other thing. But, you know, these are times where, you know, as difficult as they might become emotionally, or they are, or they become, or whatever, it's like there are opportunities for us to grow and to, you know, face up to certain truths which we like to deny, whether it be immortality or, you know, our own strength and control over the world. And that's good for us to break that sense, because the degree that we realize our inability to control, we turn towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Control, that's like Vayishman Yishon Vayiva, like our success. Ram Levavecha V'Shachachta Asah Hashem, right? Success is always a bad thing for us. Or could be, the potential for bad. We forget about Hashem. But difficult times cause us to realize Hashem, and that's the response of an Esara, is to cry out to Hashem. Right? So, you know, it's kind of related to the Bitachon point, but a different point. It's like, I think it is worthwhile to try to use times like this. You know, we could be afraid and whatever, or we could direct our energies towards positive ways, introspective growth, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't have opportunities like this all the time. You know, so we could look at them as opportunities other than, you know, of course there are negatives about it also, but there are positives as well. You could take Avelis. Avelis is very sad, but it could be a great opportunity for growth. You know, we don't wish for it, but when we have it, we make the best of it. And on the contrary, we might grow more in times like that than in other times. Right? Yeah.